Well, I don't know about you guys. I'm really enjoying the Sermon on the Mount messages. But for some reason, you know, when I did 1 John, I did some of them at Calling in the Lost. But this time, for some reason, he's having me just do them during the weekly services and other things here on Sunday night. So you can put a marker in Romans chapter 5. We'll be there in a little bit. And this past week, the Holy Spirit helped me rediscover a word that he spoke to me way back in 1994. And it's amazing to me that I discovered it, but I know it was him that helped me find it. I numbered things and lettered and filed things differently in those early days, so I had a different numbering system on it. But anyway, I plopped onto this thing, and it's just amazing to me. So I wrote to Tim. You know how David always write his letters to Tim? Well, I sent an email to Tim and some others when I sent this out. And I said, the Holy Spirit helped me rediscover this word that he spoke to me way back in 1994. Now, the date, which I'll tell you what day it was here, was November 27th, 1994. And that date is very important to me. That was 7 days before, you've heard me talk about the day I fell out of the truck when I had the heart problem. I never drove a truck again after that. And our whole life changed. And this was 7 days before that event. So how many of you know nothing takes the Lord by surprise? So the Lord knew. And so really you could say this was the last word. And I'm not saying he didn't talk with me during those 7 days. But this is the last like word that he really spoke to me while I was still driving the trucks. So let me go ahead and read it to you, and then we're going to comment on it. And it started with a vision, and it says, I keep seeing a teaching vision of a man who has one strong leg and one withered leg. In this vision, he's using a staff to help support himself upright. I couldn't help but think this looked a lot like Jacob after he wrestled with God and prevailed. But he had been touched in his thigh, causing the sinew to be withered. I didn't know where the Lord was going with this. I just kept, you know, you're driving your rig and you keep seeing this little movie play in your mind. And I saw this man standing there and he had one normal leg and one withered, and he had to use that staff. And the Holy Spirit said to me, the reason the charismatic renewal has been so loose in its morals and weak in the fiber of its character is that it is imbalanced concerning the law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now let's stop for a moment. Think about the charismatic renewal. Remember the most of you here have one I can talk to. I don't know. Are old enough to remember many of the scandals that have broken out during the charismatic renewal. And we're not pointing fingers at anybody, but there was big ones that everybody knows about, like the Jim Baker thing with money mostly, and the Jimmy Swaggart thing with opposite sex type things. And that's just too, if you read Charisma magazine at all, which I don't read a whole lot of it, but I read some of them, just every month or two, another pastor of another church, another sex scandal, another money scandal. And then you read articles like, I believe it's 2/3 of professing Christians in America admit, and this includes pastors, admit to using pornography on a regular basis. I mean, that's loose morals, okay? And it's been fairly common. Well, let me read that sentence again. The Holy Spirit said to me, now this is back in 94. We've only been here a little while. I've been praying in the trucks until my lips roll off on the floor. But that's it. And Sue would get the cassette tapes for me. They gave them free if you were at the service, so she would get those, and I'd listen to those when I could, but we haven't started ministry yet. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and He can talk with you. Okay? So he said, the reason the charismatic renewal has been so loose in its morals and weak in the fiber of its character is that it is imbalanced concerning the law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The church has prevailed sufficiently to receive the revelation that man cannot save himself by his own efforts in the flesh. It knows that it must switch its dependency from the arm of flesh to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. This is the door that allows them, both good and bad, into the sheepfold by the grace of God. On this leg, the church is very strong. But once in the sheepfold, however, the church does not know how to properly employ the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to purge them from infirmities of the flesh. This is precisely where the church is lame. On the one hand, the church hesitates to revert back to the arm of the flesh or willpower to overcome these things. On the other hand, it does not know how to employ the power of the Spirit to accomplish the desired changes in its character and habits. The progress of the church has been greatly impeded by it being caught in the middle by the tension created by these two methods. That lack of progress has caused repeated failures by unpurged flesh and has allowed the enemy to bring great reproach upon the kingdom of God. And we all know that's true. Now get this. The coming revival at the prayer center. Let's stop right there. There is a revival coming. The coming revival at the prayer center will not only be accompanied by signs and wonders to draw the masses to Jesus, but it will be my fountainhead whereby the church at large will receive a fresh revelation of how to employ the power of the Spirit to produce the character of Jesus in the church. That character will be Spirit-born and Spirit-molded, and the fruit of that character will be true holiness. End of the message. So I was writing to Tim, and I sent this to others as well, Jim and Bronk and others. I'll read that first paragraph again. It says, the Holy Spirit helped me rediscover this word. He spoke to me way back in 1994. The date is very special to me. This was 7 days before I fell out of the truck with heart problems. This is the last word that the Lord spoke to me while I was still driving the trucks. When I read it now, I think about all those years, and I mean here at the prayer center, when I, just talking about me, not you, when I continued to smoke cigarettes, not knowing whether to employ my own willpower against it or to just keep praying and smoking with the thought that eventually the desire to smoke would just go. I didn't really know. Now, no fault to Dave. Dave has always said that we did not have to keep sinning as Christians. Amen? But I, like many in the body of Christ, was caught between those two opposing thoughts, willpower or spirit. How am I supposed to deal with my flesh? Now, Dave laid the foundations many years ago, but it was Nathan who really He brought forward the knife edge on the truth in Romans chapter 2 about the new nature causing us to become a law unto ourselves. That I'm talking about Nathan, that black and white, no gray teaching about taking dominion over sin through the new nature finally came through so crystal clear. We can all now walk in the light of it if we choose to do so. The confusion is gone, the gray is gone, and the light of truth has come. It is not human willpower. It is the new man taking dominion over the flesh through the power of the new nature. It is God who wrote His laws in our minds and in our hearts. And all of us We have the same, if you're born again, all we have to do is yield to the thoughts that proceed from those laws within our mind and heart, and we will be able to walk righteously and holy in this lifetime. He also gave us our conscience, which is like the bumper rails on each side of the highway of holiness, so we don't get off track into sin. It is mortifying the flesh through the new nature, not human willpower. And that's just like Dave laid the foundation in the beginning. You know how many of us, that we all listen to all those series by Dave. It is true. Don't we love Dave? Thank God for Dave. It's also true Dave sometimes speaks in code. What? You said what? Nathan broke the code. And he brought it down where you can't, all you can do is run. You can either accept it or run, but you can't say, I don't know anymore. Okay. Now, Nathan, if you're listening to this, I'll still slap you around. You're not as old as my favorite cereal bowl now. I'm not wanting to give you the big head, but kudos, you did good. Hallelujah. Don't get into pride, Nathan. Pride is all of our biggest enemy, yours truly included. But it is mortifying the flesh through the new nature, not human willpower. Just like Dave laid the foundation in the beginning, but now it is so crystal clear to all of us who have heard the truth. And the only way to not walk in it now is just pure disobedience. So I see this word is now fulfilled, and I see that it will be a major part of the revival, just like the signs and wonders will be. Love always, Gary. But it encouraged me to find that word and to see how accurate it was, and now how accurately it has come forward. That has been fulfilled. Now, it's still the prayer center yet. No, you know, the world is not listening to the prayer center. Have you noticed? Yet. But the dinner bell is the signs and wonders. The dinner bell. Come to the revival, the dinner bell. So I just know that when that happens, people are going to be... See, when I teach that, I normally call it the mechanism of righteousness. Now, I asked you to turn to Romans 5. Let's just briefly look at this mechanism of righteousness. And boy, it is by grace. So you got to remember that throughout the Old Testament, God gave the law through Moses to Israel, but they're spiritually dead people. They're like Dave would call them, flesh creatures, you know. And I don't care how much you love God. I mean, Moses loved God. It's obvious to me Moses loved God. David loved God. Noah, they loved God, but they were still spiritually dead. And once the law was given, I don't care how much you loved him and how hard you tried, you still were a Romans 7 type person. And without that new nature on the inside, the law of sin and death got them all. That's why the New Testament says concerning righteousness, you take the whole history, the Old Testament, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, God would account righteousness to those that had faith in him like Abraham, but what that's talking about, nobody could keep the law. Well, here comes Jesus, and he said, okay, none of you can keep the law, so I'm going to raise the standard. What? We'll get there in a few weeks as we go down the Sermon on the Mount. God was dealing with a spiritually dead people. With all your best efforts, you're not going to be able to keep it. Now, God appreciated your efforts. It's the best you had under that covenant. But how many of you know they were really happy for the lamb every time they could make a sacrifice? Thank God for the lamb. Amen. Dave would say, under the old covenant, you come in and you come home from a hard day's work, and your wife says, hey, how did it go today, sweetie, with that new secretary that they hired? And he says, we better kill another sheep, you know. Nobody could keep it. Now, Romans 5, verse 17 is just an amazing verse. And when I read it now, knowing what my limited, minuscule understanding was 20-some-odd years ago, let's just read it first, Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense, who's that? That's Adam, the first Adam. If by one man's offense, death reigned. Boy, did it ever reign. Death reigned by one. Much more. See, when I say death reigned, well, how much did death reign? 100%. There was none righteous. No, not one. But then it says, even though death reigned 100% by one, notice, much more. Much more than 100%. But much more, as strong as the law of sin and death was, as strong as that was, the law of the Spirit of life is much more strong. Much more they which receive the abundance of grace, now notice, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The early days of my reading that verse and just a glimpse of what it might mean, I really, for the so many years, thought the gift of righteousness was like what Abraham had, accounted righteousness. Because, obviously, looking at myself and all my faults and all my failures and all my mistakes, obviously I'm not righteous. So God had to give me a gift of righteousness. Like Abraham, you know, blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin, you know. And that was my understanding of it for years and years. And then Dave would teach on it, and I would get a little better understanding. But boy, finally, Nathan. I mean, he just come out and didn't matter how many people left the church. Didn't matter how many people railed on him, how many people called and says, Nathan preaching, I ain't coming. Sometimes he'd do that with me. But anyway, and he wouldn't waver, you know. Give him some credit. And he just kept. So let's look at this gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness is Romans chapter 2. It's when you get born again. And the perfect example are the Gentiles. See, I see now that this is a follow-up to last Sunday night's message when we talked about the difference in repentance between Jew and Gentile. Well, the Jew grew up under the law. They knew fornication was wrong because of the law. They knew adultery is wrong. They knew stealing is wrong. Why? They were taught it from the time they were little. So they grew up under the law. But what about these Gentiles? What about a Borneo Gentile who grew up being taught by your daddy, if you're ever going to cross over into manhood, you got to cut off the head of one of these neighboring tribes, one of these people, and bring it to me on a stick and we'll shrink it for you. And to him, that's the right thing to do. See? Because he's got a sin nature in the first place. He's sure not taught the law. To him, murder is a sign of manhood. Okay? What are you going to do with this guy? He never grew up, never got the law, never grew up hearing it. And to him, murder is a good thing. It's your passage into manhood. Show you're a man. But notice, Romans chapter 2, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, let's think about our Borneo headhunter Gentile. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, they're never taught the law. All of a sudden now, they do by nature. Oh, I wish Paul would just added one more word, putting you right there. That's what he's talking about, by the nature. Their nature has changed. All of a sudden, they weren't taught the law, but now they do by nature the things contained in the law. These, having not the law, meaning they were never taught it, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Now that's from Hebrews chapter 8, and I believe also chapter 10, where God says, this covenant, this new covenant I'm making with you, I'm going to write my law in your minds and in your hearts. You will all know me from the least to the greatest. You won't have to run around to be taught. You'll all know. And you'll know. He'll write his laws. You'll know stealing is wrong. Murder. That guy in Borneo, if somebody comes and preaches Christ to him, and that's all he knows, Christ and him crucified, but he genuinely gets born again. Listen, when Christ comes in, he comes in as your Savior. He comes in as your teacher. And I mean, immediately, the law of God immediately is written in his heart, and he goes, murder is wrong. I can't be murdering a member of this next tribe. Murder is wrong. Well, Daddy would come. Why do you say that? Well, Jesus, there's something on the inside telling me that. He may not know it's Christ in him, but it is. Christ, when he comes in, he really does come in. His nature comes into you. And he preaches to you from the inside out. This is the very gift of righteousness. The new nature, that born again experience. It is literally Christ in you. It is his nature in you. I'll always remember those first few weeks after I got saved. I mean, there was a preacher from the inside all of a sudden. We weren't even hardly going to church at the time. I wasn't hearing it from the outside. I'm hearing it from the inside. And he's, alcohol's got to go. This pornography's got to go. This cussing has got to go. This dirty jokes has got to go. That movie for sure has got to go. This, I mean, and I even argued my own. I can remember my own soul is like Gary is arguing with this new preacher on the inside. But that new preacher is Christ in me. See? That is the gift of righteousness. And it's, boy, you talk about grace. It is strictly by grace. You couldn't earn it. You didn't pay for it. You didn't do anything. What you do have to do is receive it. And that's how it says it. Look, well, we're not in Romans 5. I'll read it to you again. They which receive the abundance of grace. That's your job. Receive it. Lord, come in. Father, forgive me all my sins. Lord Jesus, I believe you're raised from the dead. From this day forward, you're my Lord, whatever that means. I don't even know you yet, but you're my Lord. Whatever you say, that's what I do. This a prayer like that, and boy, he will. He will come in. And he comes in with a nature. He comes in with a voice. He comes in writing the law of God in your mind and in your heart. Homer Betancourt, again, when he was teaching at the youth, I think it was not this year, but the year before, he says, now he's a Mexican macho guy. You know, there's this culture with these, you know. He says, with the Mexican, you know, the man has got to be macho and tough. And a mark of a man in my culture, you know, you sleep around with a lot of women and you drink a lot and you do all this stuff. He says, 2 minutes after I got born again, within 2 minutes, I knew sleeping around with my wife was wrong. Getting drunk is wrong. That partying is wrong. That cussing is wrong. Those dirty jokes is wrong. He said, like 2 minutes. When Jesus comes in, he really comes in. It is no joke. He comes in. And he wants to be what? Lord. That is the gift of righteousness. See? And so Nathan would take us right back here to Romans 2. For when the Gentiles which have not... the verse 14. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. You've got the law on the inside of you. Which show the work of the law. Now it's not written in tables of stone. It's written in your heart. And their conscience also bearing witness. Oh, I love the conscience. The conscience is like the bumper rails. If I'd have looked up the scriptures in Isaiah, there's a passage that talks about the highway of holiness. I should have looked it up. You can look it up. Homework assignment. Look that up. The highway of holiness. Your conscience is like the bumper. You know, you have guardrails on a highway. Your conscience is like the guardrails. Something looks appealing over here to the left. I'm on the highway of holiness, but that sure looks shiny right over there. If you start driving that direction, there's a guardrail there. It's called your conscience. Bump you back. You start feeling that conscience. Oh, you ought to thank God for the conscience you have. Thank God. I don't ever want to violate that new nature again the rest of my life. It is the gift of God. It is what Jesus paid such a terrible price for us to have. You start seeing something over to the right. Oh, maybe it's not dirty sin like on the left. You know, then there's what we think of more holy sin. But if I do this, even though God told you to do something else, but if I do this, I'll get fame and fortune and approval of men. It may not be dirty sin like sex, but it may be something, you know, the lust of other things and the deceitfulness of riches type. And you start heading that way there too, your own conscience. It'll start bumping you back to the center of the road. Going, that's not what God told you. That's not your assignment. This is what he told you. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. And then the Holy Spirit. Oh, I love this. Romans 8. I'm not going to turn to all these. But the Holy Spirit also bears witness with your spirit. You're a child of God. We got the bumper rails of the conscience. We got his law written in our minds and in our hearts. This is what the church at large does not know. I did not know it during all those years, and I'm taking all the blame on myself because Dave never preached it was okay to keep smoking and praying. He didn't preach that, but I interpreted it that way. Because I didn't, it's exactly what the Holy Spirit said there. I didn't want to just use my willpower. I knew that was a dead end for mankind. I knew, I'd read my Bible enough to know willpower won't get it done. Okay? But to me it seemed like if I took a stand against smoking, I was just using my willpower. To me, that's what it seemed like. I said, well, and so I fell into that trap that a lot of fell into that Dave didn't really preach. Well, maybe if I just keep praying, the desire will just leave me. Well, Dave never said that. But that's what I thought for a lot of years. So I just continued. But thank God, I do love this sentence. It saved my life. God will walk through hell with you, with your fault, as long as you keep doing the things that will one day spell out your freedom. I was just confused. But boy, when it finally came, and I finally understood it, then you understand, well, it's not willpower. I am a child of God. The Holy Spirit keeps telling me I'm a child of God. I'm a child of light. I don't do darkness anymore. I'm not going to be bound by anything anymore. I take dominion. You start taking dominion over the flesh. Of course, in this season, then you start adding some fasting. Hallelujah. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. I'm telling you right now, male or female, if you're addicted to porn, your brain has become addicted to chemicals. It's a chemical addiction. It's not much different than nicotine addiction or alcohol addiction or drug addiction. Your brain releases certain chemicals when you see those things that the brain likes and it wants more. And it's an addiction. The cure for that is to know who you are in Christ. The cure for that is to learn to repent. Go to 1 John 1:9, say, I don't want to do this anymore. Forgive me, Father, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And He will. And the thing of it is that conscience, when He cleanses you from all unrighteousness, your conscience becomes tender again. And it will, every time you want to turn to that or dial to that or tap to that on God, internet fingers, your conscience is going to alert you. The key, yield to that conscience on the inside. Yield to those thoughts that are proceeding from the new nature. And then I recommend like the 1 John series we have a set of confessions there about confessions of light, who you are as a child of light. See, the real key, when you really realize who you are, you will hate that stuff. You really will not want it anymore. Now, your flesh will. That's the dichotomy. Your flesh is always going to be the flesh. It's like a dog. It'll eat whatever you give it. But the real you hates iniquity. How do I know that? Because Jesus hates it. He loves righteousness, and so do you at your core. You got to know who you are. And you also got to take a stand. Now, that was for pornography. You can take that same thing with anything. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how many, I hope everybody watching is on the email list for the letters that come from Dave Roberson Ministries. And they come at least once a month. This most recent one in February 2019, you can sign up at daveroberson.org. If you're not already receiving these, you ought to. But this one, this month, is to me just special. I don't always print them out and carry them with me, but I printed Sue a copy and me a copy of this one. And what it is, let me just read just a little short intro, and then they've got excerpts taken from prophecies down through the years talking to you as who you really are. The title is God Has Made You Sons and Daughters. See, once you know that, that's really the key to walking free from sin. That's what the Holy Spirit is always bearing witness. You're a child of God. You're a child of light. You don't walk in darkness. See, John John chapter 8, Jesus said, those that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, that's us. We are children of the light. We have that light of life. If we walk in that light, we shall not walk in darkness anymore. So the letter this month says, dear friend, if you're born again, you're a child of God. You are a son or daughter in God's family. Developing this truth within your soul of who you are in Christ will encourage you and help remove any discouragement. As far as the Lord is concerned, you are family. You are His. And understanding this truth is part of the foundation upon which revival stands. Boy, that is so true. The following present-day words attest to the truth of whom you've been made. Be blessed, encouraged, and strengthened as you continue to fellowship with your Heavenly Father, your friends and co-laborers at Dave Roberson Ministries. So let me just read you a few of these. There's too many to keep you here. We'll keep you here the whole for a long time. There's 26 of them on this one. But let me read you a few of these. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit says, or your Father says, however you want to look at it. He says, I will teach you things that the sons of men have not been able to receive since the foundations of the world, says the Spirit of grace. For yes, I search even the deep things that be of God to reveal them unto you. Now let's see. How would he become my teacher? Don't you wish there was a church where they would teach you how you could be taught by the Holy Ghost? That maybe there was something you could do on purpose just because you wanted to, that would release His anointing as teacher on the inside of you? Oh, wait, this is that church. We thank God for Pastor Dave, decade after decade, laying his life down for in prayer and fastings in the Word to teach us all of those principles, how, if you want to be taught by the Holy Ghost, this is how you do it. And a big part of that, not all of it, but a big part of that is praying in other tongues. Another part is learning how to meditate the Word in whole images. See, for Sue and I, that is so relevant because we were saved and Spirit-filled for 12 years before we started attending here. And we could Shandai right along with the rest of them. But nobody had ever taught us there was a real reason to do it very much. Now, we were pretty good students of the Word. We read our Bibles. We listened. I'm a tapeaholic. I listened to tapes. I got them from all different ministries. A lot of it was good. A lot of it was not so good. But anyway, we know what that life is like. And we did a lot of things. We did some Bible studies. We did prison ministry. You know, it's kind of like you just, this is available, let's do it and hope it's God type of thing, you know. But really never got to that place where I would hear the Holy Spirit or hear His voice. Or all I'm saying is there was such a difference once we attended here and heard Pastor Dave teach the benefits of praying in other tongues, meditating the Word in whole images, which really I did not have much opportunity to do that for about 2 years. Because I was still driving the trucks and I didn't have much time. So what the real difference in my life was praying in other tongues. I already had a pretty good knowledge of the Word. Fair enough. There was enough. But what I had was time in those trucks. And man, when I decided to do it, I let her rip. 40, 50, 60 hours a week praying in other tongues. And the difference, the way that he began tearing down false doctrine on the inside of me, by vision, by revelation, by voice, by all these methods, just like everything Dave had said began happening in my life. Tearing down false doctrine that they're still preaching on TV today, you know. But I know it's wrong. How do I know it's wrong? Because God the Holy Ghost became my teacher and showed it from the Word. Okay. So I will teach you things. I want to read that one again. If you spend time with the Holy Spirit in the Word and praying in tongues, He says, I will teach you things that the sons of men have not been able to receive since the foundations of the world, says the Spirit of grace. For yes, I search even the deep things that be of God to reveal them unto you. The second one says, you will walk with your shoulders held erect as sons and daughters of the Most High. And your enemy, your enemies, those small ones. And he's talking about demons here. He's talking about demons. When they see you approach, it will be as Joseph of old. The angels will go ahead of you and say, bow the knee, bow the knee. A child of the king is passing through. See, that sounds almost like foolishness to us, but that is in your Bible. Joseph, who was a slave and mocked and ridiculed and left for dead, served in prison for so many years in obscurity. Boy, when God promoted him, second only to Pharaoh, when he would go anywhere, they had men running ahead of him to the people in the crowd, bow the knee, bow the knee. Can you picture it? Here comes Joseph. And as he comes, there's a wave of people bowing the knee. And the Holy Spirit said, that's prophetic. That's the way it'll be for you when demons will bow the knee when you walk in the room. What was it, a week or two ago we looked at the madman of Gadara? Jesus didn't say nothing. He just showed up. He hasn't opened his mouth yet. And those demons, have you come to torment us before the time? I'm telling you, the day will come when you walk in the room. I believe those demons are going to say the same thing. Have you come to torment us before the time? What's the answer? Yes. No, I'm kidding. Come out in Jesus' name. All right, number three. Got about 5 minutes. So he says, in your training. Now, what's he talking about there? In your training. He's talking about you in the Word, you meditating, you praying in the Spirit, maybe kicking in some fasting, some worship, all of the things that are taught here. In your training. And he won't let me leave that word yet. He does not say in your existing. In your training. There's got to be time spent with the Holy Ghost. There's got to be time spent with the Word. There's got to be time spent with your Lord and your Father in worship. There's got to be time spent enforcing dominion over your own flesh. That's all training. In your training, your limits will have to be taken off. For you will learn to walk in my presence, enjoy my presence, and look to me as a son would to his father. And I will supply your need. Now notice how he words this. In the four corners of the earth. See, it's one thing to prosper in America. I think Alan mentioned that today. Anybody can prosper in America. Really, you can. It's another thing to prosper in a third world country somewhere. But see, if in your training, the limits will come off. He's basically saying, no matter where I send you, I'll supply every need. Glory to God. He said, I will cause you, now get this, I will cause you to survive in wealth. Isn't that a sentence? Because a lot of people don't survive wealth. Dave says, when teaching on that, he says, usually by the time the man makes the money has got the man. He says, I will cause you to survive in wealth, and I will cause you to survive through poverty. You will be in places that look like hell has made its home there, and you will be in places where it seems like the angels touched the goblets of gold. But wherever I send you, you will be in my presence, and you will honor me, because my training has been this, to bring you to this place where you are a testimony, a written epistle full of the word that brings no reproach. The days of bringing reproach on the kingdom of God are coming to an end by the true sons and daughters of God that have learned how to walk in the true righteousness that God has given us. It's not just a standing. It is true righteousness, the gift of God by grace. And thank God, at this place, we've learned how to walk in it. Hear what the Spirit would say, and gird yourself up and know that I am God. For those who have received my mantles in the past, they have feared nothing. I am in a shortage this day, even though the earth is overrun with more people than has ever walked on the face of it before, and more have claimed and heard my voice to answer my call. There is no time in history where more have heard my call, have answered, and yet have done so little with what they have heard. But hear what I would say. In the days of old, many heard my voice, many, and went out into the front and gave their lives. They feared nothing. They walked with me, and I met their needs as a father would, the father of a son. Isn't that something? Number 5. To the extent that you want me to bless you, to that same level. Now this really talks to me, this one. They all talk to me, but to the extent that you want me to bless you, to that same level, be sure you bless those who curse you and bless those that revile you. Bless and do good to those who despitefully use you. You are my sons and my daughters. You are my mercy in the earth. You are my vessels of grace in the earth. And it is through you that I extend my love, my mercy, my forgiveness, and the blood of my son. Measure these things according to my measure, and not according to the spirit of the world, says the Lord. Number 6. Walk in the great authority of the sons and daughters that I have made you, that I might manifest myself with you and to you and through you, that I might bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Come and walk with me, and I will come and walk with you. Abide with me, and I will abide with you. And you will bear much fruit, says the Lord. And in doing so, you surely shall be blessed. For as a mediator mediates between two parties, says the Lord, those who give themselves to me in intercession, I use them to mediate between a revival and heaven's glory. For the ministry of prayer is honorable ministry in my presence, for it is that which I use to change things. I change things, says the Lord, everywhere with prayer. Boy, we could preach for a month right there. The power of prayer. I'm thinking, calling in airstrikes. I want to call in some airstrikes on some of my loved ones that have not yet yielded to the Lord. For he who speaks my word shall surely see the thing that he speaks come to pass. Do you know God believes his word will come to pass? Be bold, give yourself to me, and I will manifest my presence and my power through you wherever you go. Man. Okay, one more. If you don't have these, you need to get these. And if you do have them, you need to do more than glance at them. You know, get this in you. I like this one. I like all of them. He says, walk as a son full grown in your inheritance all the time. Grow up into that, says the Lord. And where you will walk as he walks and talk as he talks and have the same results he had everywhere he went, know and understand the gifts are yours. Isn't that something? Okay, since you asked, one more. It's hard to quit. When you understand more and more of who I am as your father and the grace that has made you my sons and my daughters, yielding is not very far off. It becomes simpler and simpler. Therefore, the spirit of holiness is surrender. There it is. What is the spirit of holiness? It's surrender. Surrender to the new nature. Therefore, the spirit of holiness is surrender. Yield to me, for I am the Lord your God and your Father. Okay, just one more. Why do I train you to walk in my footsteps? Is it not to walk the paths that I walked? Well, where did I walk? Did I walk in the high places to be seen of men? Or did I take the lowly place and illuminate dark places and pay prices that one day, for you who could hear my voice in your spirit, the path has been cleared to walk where I walk and illuminate the dark places that I have illuminated? Let it be said in hell that in the places that you go, a son of God is in the village, and we're going to have to make account. Boy, see, when I read that, oh, from heaven's perspective, if we ever get who we are, he's going to send you into a dark hell place, and those demons, when you show up, a son of God, a daughter of God has come in the village, we're going to have to give account now. So he finishes that one up saying, oh, hear and take your training. Find yourself on your knees long before you find yourself in places where you can receive glory if you don't let it go to me. One more. I promise. Number 10. We'll quit, maybe. I rejoice when many of my sons and daughters are harvesting in a short time. That took others many years. Therefore, rejoice and say this, I am living in a time such as this, for indeed you shall excel. Your understandings of my movements and my mysteries will come in your estimation to an all-time high. For many of you will excel, and you will see my hand move, and you will rejoice. For many places of the world, it will be the opposite. You are the light that I will send into those dark places. Therefore, let your lamps burn brightly, so that those who hear and see shall know and come to me, says the Lord. Let your works shine before men, that they might know. Amen.